And that, ladies and gentlemen, was world-renowned Canadian baritone Russell Braun, and Russell Braun singing both parts of that duet with his wife, pianist Carolyn Moll. Russell Braun is our special guest today. He's in town to perform Mendelssohn's Elijah on November 2nd at Roy Thomson Hall. Welcome to Classical Mornings, Russell.
Welcome, Jean. Thank you. Thank you.
Hello, Adi. Hi. Well, that duet is nothing short of brilliant, and it shows your astounding versatility, Russell. And so tell us how this recording came about.
Oh, gosh. I don't know if it's versatility or craziness.
It's crazy versatility. That's what
I think that is true.
I will not sing all parts for the Elijah, though. I'll only sing the baritone part. Yeah, so this was a COVID project that Carolyn and I started very innocently in March of 2020 when we put one posting on Facebook and that said, you know, everybody's stuck at home. If you have any musical requests, send them in and we'll prepare a video. And then day by day, the requests started piling up.
Of course.
And, you know, we have many, many friends and fans in our community and neighbors, and somebody, I don't know if it was cheekily or maybe naively, innocently, said, why don't you do the Pearl Fisher's duet? And then, of course, I thought, oh, well, it's impossible. And then I thought, maybe it is possible.
It clearly is very possible.
Yes, indeed.
Well, my throat hurt just sitting here listening to me squeezing out high B flats, I think it is. But, you know, occasionally baritones can sort of sneak up there and fake it. But I'm glad I don't have to live there permanently.
Right.
But what was great about, too, is if people are interested and you go on the YouTube channels and look at it, is that there's a very crafty split screen that shows the two different aspects of Russell Braun. The tenor with the scarf around the throat. That's so typical, right?
Yeah.
And I think it made people feel, it certainly made me feel good listening and watching these videos because so many of us were so depressed. And then it's like, well, head over to Russell and Carolyn's channel from their living room.
And I wonder, do people know that you're brother and sister?
Well, they do now.
There you go. There you go.
He is my taller but slightly younger brother.
Oh, okay.
Well, that project was very meaningful to do because they were, of course, also very... I mean, a broad spectrum of repertoire, even John Denver and Queen. And,
Bring It Home, right?
And some musical theater things, just whatever people wanted. And Carolyn was just so supportive in the whole process. And also, actually, thanks to a friend of ours, Chris Cigolia, who did some sound editing for us to balance those two voices.
Now, you are equally at home on the world's concert stages, singing solo art song recitals, of course, Lieder and so forth, and the operatic stages in some of the opera's best-loved baritone roles. Tell us of some of your recent performing highlights.
Well, of course, COVID kind of...
Notwithstanding.
Notwithstanding. But actually, just this past Sunday, Carolyn and I had a recital in Hamilton at the Hamilton Conservatory of the Arts, which is an extraordinary organization in Hamilton and an extraordinary building there where they have painting, acting, instrumentalists, singers, of course. And we did a masterclass and then a recital, and we asked some of the masterclass participants to sing each one song with us, them and their pianists as well. So that was just last weekend. But before that, it's been sort of... slow getting back into the opera
scene. You did have a riveting opera, though, in Paris that you sang in March, right?
That was a really wonderful opportunity with, you know, three Canadians in that cast, Gordon Bintner and Frédéric Antoun.
Wow.
Was really quite an experience and in this configuration, kind of a world premiere of a new orchestration of Leonard Bernstein's A Quiet Place.
Not often performed, right?
No.
Yeah, so it was really fascinating. And, of course, now that I'm of a certain generation of singers, I don't sing the young sort of sword-fighting, swashbuckling characters anymore. So this was a parent role, which I have not done a lot of, and it was very... very touching.
But you do have practice in real life with that parent role, right?
Yes. Well, I mean, my son on stage in the play is he's dealing with mental issues. He's dealing with his
sexuality,
closeted
too, yeah.
Sexuality and all of that, and he comes back. It's an incredible family drama,
but
it was just beautiful to sort of express that kind of love on stage for your child, you know, because usually it's something that we try to find a reference to.
Right. Well, too bad we couldn't see that over here,
I know.
You're also well known for your very emotional portrayals of many sacred works by composers such as Bach, Handel, and Mendelssohn. Tell us a bit about the upcoming role of Messiah, the Elijah in Messiah, and who Elijah is for you.
Messiah actually is not in that. This year I don't have a Messiah, but Elijah is... It's one of the most complex and also the one of the biggest parts written for a baritone, or bass baritones also sing it sometimes. The trajectory of the character is incredible, because he starts with the sort of angry prophecies and fighting against the multi-theism, is that a word? Trying to unite the people of Israel to worship one God, and so he enters this these worshippers worshiping Baal-Zebub, and prophesies that there will be a drought, and the drought lasts, you know, very, very long time. I'm not a religious scholar, but I do find I'm over the years it's been the most satisfying repertoire to explore. I find Bach, of course, because of his genius and the sort of depth that he is able to get at in a spiritual way, and for someone who's maybe a bit more on the outside, spiritually speaking, I find myself really attracted to these works of faith, because not everybody can share that kind of deep faith. And over the years, it's something that's really fascinated me.
I'm curious, is it going to be performed in English or German here?
It will be performed in English.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
And as you said, Elijah goes through the gamut of emotions, almost very theatrically in a way. Are there some personal musical dramatic highlights in the score? Could be choral, could be one of your own arias that we could be looking forward to. I mean...
Well, every... aria is a jewel and a masterpiece. It Is Enough is probably the highlight, because it has also a this sort of suffering quality that Elijah, you know, experienced himself, and it's composed in such a wonderful way. So that for me is a highlight. I do remember performing it once at Grant Park in Chicago, and right in the middle of It Is Enough, there were about five ambulances and fire engines coming up Michigan Avenue in Chicago. It's an outdoor concert.
Oh, wow.
So it was just, every time I started, I have this
you still
moment
hear them?
Where I think, I hope there's no ambulance rushing by.
Wow.
But I do love this piece, and I love also... there's this kind of heroic quality, as you mentioned, about Elijah, but also this eternal presence, because unlike other, you know, great prophets of the Old Testament, he doesn't die. He gets sort of carted off by this golden chariot, and it gives sort of this...
His hope is involved.
Yeah, there's a great deal of hope, and then expectation in the faith that he will return as well, because he didn't die.
Well, so given that you were just saying Elijah was a prophet who was trying to save his people from idolatry, do you think that a piece like this still has relevance today in terms of, let's talk about our incredible materialism and consumerism in our world? What do you think that there is relevance?
Oh, absolutely. I think also the environmental issues are part of this experience of suffering, right? You know, we're starting to suffer because of our environmental
floods and weather
issues. I think it has relevance, but I think the most relevant thing is its beauty. And I think
beauty
that,
is always relevant, right?
You know, and for someone, whether you are of a person of faith or not, it's a wonderful storytelling, incredible music. There are wonderful soloists who I'll be singing with who aren't in the advertising, but they're taken from the chorus, from the Mendelssohn Choir.
Oh, isn't that fabulous?
That's right. They're called the Mendelssohn Choir
wonderful
singers.
Wonderful soloists,
Oh, great.
So I'll be very happy and honored to be on stage with
them. As will
we all. Nice.
Well, you know, we're coming to the end of this wonderful interview, and I just want to ask you, what's next on your musical horizon, like in the spring and summer? Can you give some little info?
Oh, sure. Well, I'm doing some Brahms Requiems. That's sort of a piece that comes up regularly in my life. One in Vancouver, one in Atlanta. And then I'm going to go to Berlin to sing an opera at the Deutsche Oper. And I understand we may be, Adi, you and I, in Berlin at
Yeah, I'm going to be in Berlin as well.
Time.
You're doing Mandrika in Arabella, right?
Mandrika in Arabella.
Fantastic. Yeah. Jean, do you want to come?
Yes.
Santiago, let's go.
Okay, so that's February, March. And the next spring, I hopefully will be in Aix-en-Provence.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Well, listen, you can hear Russell Braun along with the Mendelssohn Choir and the University Singers and the Toronto Symphony on November the 2nd at Roy Thompson Hall in the Elijah, and you can go to www.tso.ca for more information. Thank you so much for coming
Thanks
in this
coming
morning
by.
All the way from Glen Williams, and we thought we would leave you with a wonderful studio recording of Russell Braun singing with the Canadian Opera Orchestra in an aria from Mozart's Merge Figaro Non Più Andrai.